Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams, and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or condition or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
This morning, as you may know, we are not releasing the children's ministry, nor the students, nor the middle schoolers. We are going to have our entire church that is in town here. And so if I could have all the children come down front, all children come down on the front row here, please. And the teachers will make sure that you have a bulletin in your hands. And these young men will also make sure that everybody has a Bible in their hands. And so Jelani and Aaron, make sure these young people down in front here have Bibles as well. Well, good morning, Living Hope Church. All right, let's try that again. Is everybody awake? Good morning, Living Hope Church. Well, great to be here in the house of the Lord. When you came in this morning, you should have received a bulletin. If you'll turn that bulletin over to the back, you'll notice there's a place there to jot down a few notes. Normally, when people see six notes with the preacher, they get a little nervous. Don't worry about it. We will move through most of these fairly quickly. This morning, what I would like for you to do is please turn in the Word of God to the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. For the children down here in front, if you look at the notes on the back, the scripture is on the bulletin. You guys will be able to follow along there. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. This morning, in my quiet time, I read a verse that I read many, many times each and every day. And not only that, it's a passage that actually a few pastors that I listened to this morning before I came to service quoted. And I found it so interesting that it's something I look to literally every day. When you start your day, I want you to know that your pastor has already read this passage. And the passage is from Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Isn't that good? To know that as we begin this great journey in our new location fund, that we are going to have the opportunity, the great blessing, to know that God is with us on every step of the way. And as we go through today's message, I want you to know that we have six building principles that will hold true in many areas of your life. They are true if you have a family to build. They are true if you have a business to build. And they are true if you have a church to build. If you have the Word of God all over the sanctuary, whether it's in digital or printed format, please hold it up all over your head. Everyone, if you have the Word of God, amen. God bless you. It is so good to see that. You know, so many times I say, please turn here, please turn there. And it is so much of a blessing in my heart when I see you actually doing that. Now, the book of Nehemiah is a great book. Many people know that at one point the children of God had been carried away into captivity by the Chaldeans, known as the Babylonians. And many people know that at some point they came back, but they don't realize that the return to Jerusalem was actually in three stages. And it was over a long period of time when they came back. There was a return of Zerubbabel, the return of Ezra, and then we see here where Nehemiah gets involved. And Nehemiah, in chapter 1, in the beginning parts of chapter 2, has a dream. And in his dream, the Lord lays on his heart that the city of God is in disrepair. The wall around Jerusalem is in a state of fallen and brokenness. And it is so much, many people don't realize, is that the wall of Jerusalem is a spiritual indication of our spiritual lives and our salvation. Many times there are so many of us that have broken down walls in our life. Amen? We go through difficult things. And that wall just needs to get rebuilt. But it's good to know that when it gets rebuilt, that it is rebuilt in the Lord. I find that the more we depend upon the Lord, the less the walls fall down. Amen? But the more we depend upon ourselves and our own power, the walls seem to stand in place. And so Nehemiah has this dream. And in this dream, you know, he sees that he is to go and make an assessment of the walls in Jerusalem. And he approaches the king. And you have to know that to approach the king back in those days was a big deal, because he had power over your life. But the king, the Lord touches his heart. And the king gives him protection. He gives him provision. He gives him a mandate to go and rebuild the wall of the people of God. And that brings us to our story this morning. I will be reading this morning initially from verses 11 through 14. But we will probably work our way through the balance of the chapter. I simply love seeing these young people down here in front with their Bibles and their notes. Reading from the Word of God, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Nehemiah speaking. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. As we begin to fill in our blanks today, I want you to know that there are 6 points, as we said before. And the first point that we come to today is that the very first thing that Nehemiah does is that Nehemiah fixed his focus. If you look up on the screen, you'll see the first point up there this morning. Nehemiah fixed his focus. Isn't it better when you really focus on something? Have you ever spoken to someone and they seem to be a little distracted? It's almost impossible to carry on a conversation with those folks. And by the way, that's the way the Lord is in our lives. It's very difficult for Him to carry on a conversation with us when we are so focused on other things, things other than Him. But Nehemiah had, in chapter 1, had gotten a mandate from God. He had gotten alone with God. He had fasted. He prayed. He wept. And he waited upon the Lord's instructions. That is such a good example for us. When I became the senior pastor at Living Hope Church, there were some things that were obvious and that needed to be addressed, but there were many things that I had to really pray about, things I have had to really address. And I got on my knees before the Father and prayed so hard and so diligently and waited for God's plan to come. Now, you need to understand is that while God does reveal His plan to the pastor, He reveals His plan to the shepherd, He's not going to have the shepherd drag the sheep anywhere. The sheep need to be able to follow the shepherd. And it's because they recognize not only the local small shepherd's voice, but they recognize the voice of the great shepherd and the plan that is coming forward. And so, what I'm asking today is when you make your plans, as we look at where Living Hope Church is headed, have you gotten alone with God and recognized His calling in your life? Do you recognize God's calling in your life? We have people in this church that serve magnificently and faithfully and obediently because they've recognized God's calling in their life. And they've been obedient to that calling. And by the way, I want you to know that as soon as you are thinking about being obedient to God's calling on your life, you are at that instant being disobedient to God's calling on your life. When God calls you to do something, you are to be obedient and to step out and follow that. And so what I want you to know, it is important that you get along with God every day. Children, down here in the front, it is very important that every single day that you pray to God, that you read the Word of God, and that you talk to the Lord about the things the Lord wants you to do in your life. Young people over here and around the sanctuary, I want you to know that it is so important that you stay grounded in the Word of God. The world wants you. The world is throwing everything possible at you to draw you away from the Lord. But I want you to know that if you stay and get alone with God, if you get alone with your Lord, if you read the Word of God, if you pray, if you're obedient to your parents and you honor your father and mother, then God will reveal His plan for your life. It may take a while. You may not initially like it. But you know what? It's God's call on your life. I like to tell people that when the Lord issued His call on my life to be a pastor, He found me hiding under the bed and had to drag me out. I thought, surely not. I was like Ananias when the Lord told Ananias to go to Straight Street and to pray for Saul who was busy killing God's people. I'm sure Ananias went, I'm certain I didn't just hear that. But he was obedient to what God called. So are you getting along with God? Are you recognizing His calling on your life? Or is life just passing you by? Folks, God made you exactly the way He wants you. He formed you in your mother's womb. You look like what God, physically, what God wants you to look like. He has a plan for your life. Children, young people, adults, you were created for a purpose. And God has a job specifically for you to do. Aren't you excited to find out what it is God wants you to do, young guys? Aren't you excited, young ladies and young men, to find out what is it that God has planned for my life? Surely whatever God has planned is greater than anything else that could possibly arise out there. And so God has a purpose specifically for you. Just as He has a purpose for His church. You notice I say His church. We attend Living Hope Church. We feel like this is our church, but this is God's church. This church belongs to the Lord. But I want to say something. The modern church nowadays has serious issues. I'll begin by saying that I believe that some pastors have just flat fallen down on the job. Pastoring has become their living instead of their calling. Therefore, their goal is that they want to make a living and they want to get paid. That is their goal as a pastor. Eventually, what we see is pastors just going through the motions each and every Sunday morning or each Wednesday evening. I want you to know, Living Hope Church, that I approach this place of honor with great fear and trembling. This is where I come to represent what the Lord has laid on my heart for His people every week. And I am so intensely aware of what an honor that is. I promise you this, I will never just go through the motions. You may not always like what I have to say, but you can be assured that when I say it, thus saith the Lord. You're not listening to Brister, you're listening to Bible. Unfortunately, these pastors' mentality can bleed over into the church, their people, and God's people. Generally, the local church is just a reflection of the work ethic of the pastor himself. Friends, I love this church. I love Living Hope. I've been here a long time. In the past 2 years, I want you to know that we have increased our ministry outreach in literally every single area. There is not a single area of ministry outreach that Living Hope has not increased its presence. Some may think that we are small, but we don't know that. We gave 250 Bibles to 25 house churches in Honduras, thinking that these house churches would have their family, the mom, the dad, the children, maybe the neighbors that they drug over. And so we're thinking, okay, these 250 Bibles, maybe we get 300 or 400 or 500 people out of that. No. No, 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 no. 16,000. 16,000 have been in those churches. We started with a small couple. That, our very first outreach was to a small couple, ROC Ministries. Miss Sherry's niece, Brother Roger's niece, and her husband, Vladdy, down in El Salvador. And I want you to know that we have another offering coming up for them in another month or so. But that ministry reaches out and takes children off the street, and it gets children into vacation Bible school, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is shared unto the ends of the world, and people are getting saved, and people are getting baptized. But more important than that, we have some new friends in Christ that we'll never know, we'll never meet, we'll never see until we walk the streets of glory. And they come up and say, you know what, Miss Doreen? You know what, Miss Sophia? You know what, Brother Rennell? That extra money you put in the offering that day for the special offering, I was saved that day. I was saved because of your faithfulness. I just got chills all over me, folks. Folks, I want you to understand that this is the army of the Lord here at Living Hope Church. We are the church triumphant, and Living Hope Church is not ever going to be on the defensive. We are never holding in place for anything. If you want to find a military analogy, we are going to be the Patton of churches. We're not holding in place anywhere. Satan has a stronghold on this planet. This is his territory. He is the prince of this world. And we are staging an insurgency. And when we go forth and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we share the gospel and someone gets saved, we pluck them right out of the hands of Satan and bring them over to the good side. And a great rejoicing goes up in heaven because another person has been saved. And all God's people said amen. That sounds like a good place for an amen right there. So, God has us here for a reason, to make a real difference in Coral Springs. Let us pray. Let the cry of our hurt, Lord, of our heart, be, Lord, give us Coral Springs, lest we die. And then we'll go from there. So first, we saw that Nehemiah fixed his focus. He saw that the wall had problems. Second, Nehemiah found the facts. Look again at verses 13 through 15. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool. By the way, I'm going to teach you guys all about these different gates and stuff this coming year. But there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley, and I viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. Nehemiah is taking a tour of the city. What's he really doing? He's getting the facts. You see, you can't just start on a journey. You can't correct things. You can't start to make changes unless you understand the facts of what the problems are. He wants to see what the conditions are. You see, he sees that God's work was in ruin. God's work was in ruins. This wall was down. Okay? The walls of the city of Jerusalem, a thing that had been a vision of strength, a thing of great beauty, a thing that brought glory to God, is such a mess that he can't even get by sometimes. There's so much clutter around this wall, and that reflects our lives. Our lives get so cluttered with the things of this world that we lose sight that this wall, this shield of salvation that we have, is something to be cherished. It's to be built up. It's to be energized and strengthened in the Lord. You know, each and every one of us has broken walls sometimes. Churches have broken walls sometimes. Now I'm going to share my thoughts on American churches for a moment here. Ready? Ready? Churches are in a mess because they've gotten far from God's plan. We have a very simple mandate. Very simple. We are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's your mandate. That's your marching orders. God never says it's your job to save anybody. So you cannot fail. So Khalil and Rennell, Niyasha that happens to be on vacation today, young people, if you share Jesus with somebody, it doesn't matter whether they accept or they laugh at you, you have been obedient to God. God says you are to share the good news of what Christ has done in your life. Adults, the same thing goes for you. You cannot fail. You are not mandated to save anyone. You have been declared and mandated by Jesus Christ Himself to share the good news. That Christ came from heaven because of our sin, that He died on the cross, that He was in the grave 3 days, but on that third day He arose from the dead, conquering death in the grave. And if we will confess our sins with our mouths and believe in our heart that He was raised from the dead for our sins, and believe Him and accept Him as our Lord, we will be saved. Amen? Amen. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And in churches today, churches are a mess. Satan is walking around. He's prowling around. He's working hard. Satan has managed to develop juiceless, spineless, dressed-up versions of preachers in this country everywhere that accomplish nothing. They take the pulpit and they do nothing. Preachers that come to the pulpit every week in our great country with nothing. Preachers that have substituted culture for Calvary. Preachers that have substituted reformation for regeneration. The walls of good theology have crumbled in our country, and it's not that difficult to follow. Christ died for our sins. It's a simple plan. Listen closely, folks. There's a very serious reason why I insist that you open your Bibles every week. There's a reason why we sing great praise songs, great worship songs that are scriptural. You can find scripture in the songs that we sing. There's a reason why I call you to prayer. It is so the people of God at Living Hope Church stay so close to God that you will know instantly if something incorrect is being preached, if something incorrect is being prayed, if something incorrect is being sung. We get you close to the Lord so that you can recognize error. We don't ever teach you how to recognize the error. We teach you the truth. We sing the truth. We read the truth. We believe in the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we believe in those things, it is such a simple thing to recognize error when you see it. Amen? I'm glad I got a testimony. I thought I was going to have to use the one of my own that I brought. All right, so preachers have been doing that. Therefore, at Living Hope Church, we are going to preach the full measure of the Word of God. We're not going to allow the walls to come falling down. If you guys fall asleep at the switch, you're going to have to step over my body and Pastor Carol's body to do it. Because we're going to teach the whole measure of the Word of God. So friends, like Nehemiah, look at the facts. Take a look at the focus. Weigh what the pastor says against the facts found in the Word of God. And as we go on this new location journey, let's ask ourselves, does what we are about to do, this step that we are about to take, every step along the way, does it line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with the desires of God? Does it line up with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Third, Nehemiah formed a fellowship. Verses 16 and 17. If you're there, say amen. Let's try that again. If you're there, say amen. There we go. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet, notice there's a very important word here, I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. He doesn't want to be a reproach to the Lord. Although God had called Nehemiah to lead, Nehemiah said to the people, come, let us together do this. Church, we are to work together. We're in this together. I want you to know that we do things so much better when we do them together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. That's a good place for an amen right there, by the way. We are so much more powerful together. Listen, have you ever watched ducks fly? They always fly in that big V, right? You ever wondered why that is? And then you'll see the lead duck peel off and he goes to the back and the other ducks slide forward. Did you know the scientists have proven that ducks are 72% more efficient? They can fly 72% further by doing that. Why? Because they do it together. Who taught them how to do that? God. God put that in them. There should be a natural drawing of you to the family of God to do things together. You didn't get what I was just saying. There should be a natural drawing of yourselves to the family of God so that we can do things together. We are not meant to be Lone Rangers. And by the way, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Alright? We are meant to do things together. To come to church, to gather at church. To show, hey, by the way, we had the largest Wednesday crowd we've ever had this past week. I think that's room for some applause here. To all my Wednesday folks, amen. I want you guys to know also that we meet for prayer. My prayer team and I, we meet for prayer in that little room right back over there each Sunday morning at 11:10. There's some prayer warriors in there. I'm telling you what, it makes my goose flesh all over me to be in there with these people praying on Sunday morning. You want to get on something powerful? You want to get in on something tangible that makes a difference? Come in there and join us in prayer. If nothing else, you'll encourage your pastor. Amen? So God is teaching us that we can do so much better together than we can alone. There is just something about doing things together in fellowship. Even my birthday last week, I just want to share with everybody that my wife can tell you that I had a birthday week Lollapalooza last week. Never been like that ever. It started like on Thursday or Friday and people started taking us out to dinner. That's why I'm wearing my big suit this morning. And then we had, by the way, I was so clueless about that party, that anything was going on. What a blessing you guys are. You bless my heart. And it continued on Monday and Tuesday when other folks continued taking us out to dinner. My wife goes, man, you have just milked this thing for all it's worth. But it was so good. All right, our fourth point today. Nehemiah fortified his faith. Nehemiah fortified his faith. Look at verse 18. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, now this is a people speaking, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good thing. Nehemiah fortified his faith. You see, I love this verse. Look at verse 18, the first part of that. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me. Isn't that good? Nehemiah had the king's permission to build. He had the king's provisions to build. He had the king's permission to build. But we have the same thing from our king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. We have the King of Kings' permission. He has told us to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. We have our King's protection. He says, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the ages. We have our King's provisions. He says, I will send a helper to be with you. Talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. So what did Nehemiah's people do? Let's look again at the second part of verse 18. It says, so they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. You know, usually people don't like new stuff. They don't like anything that upsets the apple cart of their normal days. Sometimes we'll say, are you sure, Lord? Really? You know, it's so comfortable in here. We got the nice chairs. Its air conditioning's working today. It's so comfortable. Well, friends, based upon the inerrant Word of God, if His hand is on us, it can be done. It can be done. Nehemiah is saying that the God of yesterday is the God of today, and He's the God of tomorrow. Just like Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same tomorrow. There never was a time when Jesus Christ was not our Savior. If you are a child of God, there is never a moment in your life when He is not your Savior, and He will be our Savior for all of eternity. He is the irrepressible, the unbelievable, the magnificent Son of God. And God has done some great things for us at Living Hope Church, hasn't He? Hasn't He done some great things? I mean, who would ever imagine that from where we were 2 years ago that we would have actually started growing? Now, I know it's hard to see that today. We got a whole bunch of people on vacation. That's okay. You know what? You need vacation time as well. Amen? And that's okay, because I'm going to bring this chest out next week just for those guys. And all God's people present said,
yeah.
Amen. All right. So I have felt the hand of God upon us together as pastor and people. I've felt that so clearly. You know, two Sundays ago, I started my third year here as your pastor. And every month since, we've had some kind of victory. There has been a victory every month. Too many to go down. Show up on Wednesday. I plan on sharing a bunch of those this coming Wednesday. The victories that we have celebrated based upon the Word of God that has been taught in this church. But I've learned that God blesses this church for His purposes. Not my purpose. Not your purpose. For His purpose. I do want to share this. Sometimes us preachers can get so wrapped up in preaching that we get away from some other things that we're supposed to stick to. And I had a couple of my sweet midweek folks come up to me this week and say, Pastor Larry, you know, we got a little away from prayer this week. Because normally we have a good portion of time for prayer. And I love it that they reminded me of that. Because if you don't stop me, this preacher will get up here and just preach. Forgetting that prayer, are you listening? Everybody look up here. Prayer is always more important than preaching. Always. There is never a time when preaching is more important than prayer. Prayer is always more important than preaching. And I'm so grateful that I was reminded of that. I've learned that God blesses us for His purpose. Flip over in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, it's real easy to find. It's in the last book of your Bible. So, children, you guys can look at, can peek in on Miss Latima there, okay? Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, this is all about the faithful church. Do you want to be a faithful church?
Yes.
Of course we do. Listen to this. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? These things, says He who is holy, He who is true, He who has the key of David, He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. You see, verse 7 declares that God is the keeper of the keys to the doors of opportunity. When the Lord opens a door, there are not enough demons in hell to shut it. And when the Lord closes a door, there's not enough angels in heaven to open it. God is the keeper of the keys of the door. In every part of our personal, family, business, and church life, God opens and closes the doors of opportunity. How do I know that? Because I know for a fact, since many of you have shared with me, that some of you may have prayed along the way in years past, Lord, please open an opportunity for me in another church or another ministry somewhere. And the Lord did a slam the door right in your face. Why are you here? Because God has called you here. This is the door the Lord has opened for you. To do great things. To never think of ourselves as a little church. To think of us as mighty in the Lord. To be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You look at verse 8. It says things weren't done on the whim there. God says, I know your works. That church in Revelation, Philadelphia, was a working church. It was activated by the Spirit of God. That is important, that a church be activated by the Spirit of God. Why? Because God is not going to bless laziness. You cannot be a lazy Christian and expect God to bless that. God only opens doors for people who want to go through them. If you're sitting in a chair doing nothing, saying nothing, being nothing, getting involved in nothing, and you're wondering where the opportunities are, the Lord is saying, arise and build. Arise and do something. I know the works which you have done. God wants to bless that. And God not only opens doors for people who want to go through them. God only opens doors for people that want to go through them. This church was dedicated to the Son of God. This was a church that loved Jesus. My heart's desire is that we are a church that is activated by the Spirit of God, that we are a church that is saturated by the Word of God, and that we are a church that is dedicated to the Son of God alone. For in Christ alone is salvation found. John 14:6 reads thus, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I didn't make the rules, and I'm a simple guy. The Lord said, you want to come to my heaven? You got to come through Jesus. I said, that's what I need. I need one reference. I need one choice. Thank you. I think the Lord did that just for Larry. Larry, my wife can tell you, I don't take hints very well at all. She'll say, here's how my wife hints where she wants to go out. This is how my wife gives me a hint that she wants to go out to eat. She says, take me out to eat. Because she can drop all kind of hints. I'm not going to get it. It's not going to happen. All right? So I want God for Living Hope Church to open doors that no one, nowhere, and no way can shut. I want God to close the doors that we may want to go through that are not biblically correct in His plan for us. So Living Hope Church, let us pray and see what God doors open. What doors God opens. Amen? Back to the book of Nehemiah. Answer number five. Nehemiah faces the foe. Nehemiah faces the foe. That's your fifth point today. In verses 19 and 20. But then Sanballat and Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it. They laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them, and I said to them, the God of heaven Himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, His servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or memorial in Jerusalem. Listen, folks, anytime God's people say, arise and build, all the hosts will say, let us rise up and stop them. And I realize I'm going to be going a little long this morning. I ask you just to be patient with me. All the hosts of hell will say, let's rise up and stop them. You see, there is no easy, lazy way to do the work of the Lord. There is no way to do that. But I want you to understand that an open door, a door opened by God, does not mean that there's no adversity. It doesn't mean there's not going to be something or someone going against what you're trying to accomplish. Just because God calls us to do something, do you really think it will be easy, humanly speaking? God can make things easy. He certainly can do that. But there's going to be people that are going to fight us. There's always someone that will be a problem. Someone that will fight us. Now these three evil men here represent the devil fighting God's people in Jerusalem. And I promise you that when Living Hope Church tries to do something great, Satan will mobilize the demons of hell and his people in Coral Springs government to try to stop us. I want you to know that that is going to happen. Expect it. Expect it, because no matter how good and righteous and pure our intentions are, there will be Satan with plenty of people right here in this city who want to stop us. Because they don't like anything that is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen closely. Opposition should never discourage us. Opposition should encourage us. We should be encouraged by the opposition. If the devil is fighting us tooth and nail, it means we're on the right track. Amen. And when Satan comes after us, just remember Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Or 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I love it when you quote the Scripture before I even say it. So let's focus on what God has called us to do. Let's look at the facts. Let us form our fellowship. Let us fortify our faith. Let us face the foe, because his evil is completely expected. When these bad things happen to us along the way, here's what I want us to do. Go, hey, there you are. We must be on the right path. We must be doing something right at Living Home Church, because you're fighting us, evil one. You want to really make the devil bad? Let him be an encouragement to us. That's encouraging when they fight you. You know you're on the right track. And if there are people who say something bad about you, don't worry about it. Let's just praise the Lord in our obedience. Let me tell you something really interesting about criticism. Let me tell you something really interesting about satanic attacks. You will never be attacked, and you will never be criticized for saying nothing and doing nothing. But just stand for God. Just try to do something for God. There will always be a Sanballat. There will always be a Geshem. There will always be the Arabian there to say, and by Arabian I'm talking about the satanic force that was being represented. There will always be these folks that say, what do you think you're doing? What do you think that you're doing? Just remember, the only people the devil isn't bothering are people that aren't doing anything for God. So if you're not being bothered, get busy for God. Get on the team. Amen? Finally, the sixth point. Nehemiah fulfilled his function. Let's look quickly at the first three verses of chapter 3. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it. Then as far as the Tower of Hananel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. Also the sons of Hasaniah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. On and on and on you can read. I want you to go home and read the rest of chapter 3 today. It says, so-and-so built here. So-and-so built there. So-and-so did this. So-and-so did that. I have three quick sub-points and then we're done. First, I want you to notice the pattern that was followed. Everyone had a job to do and they recognized that it was God's plan. God revealed it to the leader. Nehemiah obeyed God and built a team. The team shared God's plan with the people. Therefore, the people recognized God's authority and leadership through His chain of command. And the end result was that the people were willing and excited to rise up and build. Amen? That's the pattern that was followed. Second, the people that were following, there was a job for everyone. I'm going to say that again in case you missed it. There was a job for everyone. We have a building new location team. Today, I want you to fill in your notes, your communication card, if you're interested in joining the new location team. There's time to get on that. There's a job for everyone. Well, Pastor Larry, I don't know if I can be of any help. Pray about it, fill it in, and we'll talk. We'll see where God can use you. There's a job for everyone. You'll find out here that all kinds of people were involved. There were young and old. There were rich and poor. There were rulers. There were common laborers. There were craftsmen. There were some people from out of town. Did you recognize the out of town people? I said the name real loud. Those people from Jericho. That's out of town. That's not in Jerusalem. So hey, those of you watching on the internet, so those of you watching the DVD or something right now, I want you to know that you're welcome to help out. I want you to tithe to your church. But if you want to help out, you're on our website. I want you to go and look at our address, and we'd love to have your help. Tithe to your church first. Give offerings to your church first. But look what else. Verse 5 here in Nehemiah says, next to them, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. There's one in every crowd, isn't there? There's one in every crowd. You know, it's people sitting back saying, well, let them do it. That's a little below me. Let them do it. And guess what? 3,000 years later, we're still reading about these guys. I don't know about you, but when my name is read, I don't want it to be like that. I want it to be that Larry joined the team and arose and built something great for the Lord. Everyone in this story worked hard but those nobles. They did not do anything. Friends, I want to ask, what will be said of each of us? Ask the Lord in your heart today, what will be said of me? First, the pattern. Second, God's plan. Second, the people. Everyone but the nobles, apparently. Third, the places that were finished. If you read the rest of chapter 3 today, you'll see that everyone started to work right next to their own home. And I'm going to talk about this. This is the most important thing that I'm probably going to say today about this building program. I'm asking you to start at home as well. Get right with God in your personal time with Him. Get right with God in your prayer life. Get right with God in your reading of the Word of God every day from home. Get right with God in your home life. Fathers, heads of household, bring your whole family into a time of worship every day. Don't let a day go by that you don't have a family devotion time. You'll never regret that. Never. Because when families are strong at home, we come together as the church triumphant, and against which the gates of hell cannot stand. Thus saith the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want my Lord to be pleased with me. I want my Lord to be pleased with me. May I ask, what is your spot along the wall? Where is God calling you to begin and work? I have to close now. I have the gift of preaching more. I'm not sure you guys have the gift of listening more. Look one more time in Nehemiah. I'm going to read one more time. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20. Nehemiah says, "So I answered them, said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." How sad to have no heritage in what was done. To have no rights in what was done. For something to get built and to look back on it, to be in a place where the Lord takes us, and to be sitting there and to look back and to know personally in your heart that you have no heritage in this new place because you were one of the nobles along the way, that you did not join in. So may I ask, do you want to do just enough to get by? Or do you want to be a part of the heritage of the Lord, what the Lord is going to build here? Or do you want to be remembered as one of those scoffers in verse 19, the Sanballats, the Gelonites? Friends, I ask one final time, how do you want to be remembered? There's an old Christian hymn that I love to sing. We're not going to sing it right now, but I want you to reflect on it. When it comes to the heritage of what God has done, oh, do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.